20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things green and gold, where you get everything you need except for stocks, which you can go to Green Bay to get. My name is Mike Lund, alongside Gage Bridgeford, as we preview the Packers and the Vikings for the first time this season. The two rivals are going head-to-head, this time in Minnesota, a noon central kickoff, as a chance to really extend the lead and a chance to maybe even create a potential clinching scenario next week if the Packers can get a win here. So, Gage, how are you feeling for this one?
You know, if you listen to the podcast of the big media and bigger names around the industry, they're going to say that it's going to be a close game. Obviously, the Vikings, for those that don't know, are the only team in the NFL to lead by at least 7 in every single one of their games this season. No other team has done that. Obviously, we know Green Bay consistently plays close scoring and close games. That's just what they like to do. They've always done it that way this year. I don't have any issue with Green Bay in this matchup. I think that the fact that it's so close in the, like, the pick 'em line for those that are gamblers, I don't know why it's as close as it is. Peter Bukowski, everybody obviously knows him of Locked On Packers. I saw his tweet a couple days ago of who on the Vikings would start for Green Bay, and can you get to 5? And real quick, so Jefferson, Thielen, you'd say that those guys would probably make 3 wide receiver set, fair? So there's 2.
I would think so, yeah.
I mean, nothing against MBS, Lazard, Cobb, whatever, but just Thielen and Jefferson are probably making it into your 3rd wide receiver sets, but next to Devontae. And then right now, especially with Aaron Jones injured, Dalvin Cook would be out there. So there's 3. And then after that, it gets tough. I'm not taking any of their corners right now over the corners the Green Bay has. And I guess it's probably...
I'm not taking Harrison Smith either.
Yeah. And so you probably got... Then it's between like Dalvin Tomlinson, I think. I think Dalvin Tomlinson would start, or at least be a heavy rotation guy. And then maybe Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, probably Eric Kendricks, I suppose. But even then, Perry
Not
Goldstein,
over Drake Campbell.
Perry Goldstein, our colleague, who I think she records on Sunday nights, she said that this will be the first time in Kendricks' career that he's starting in this game, and he won't be the best linebacker on the field because Campbell's out there. So I think the only way that you get to 5 is if you put Kendricks like next to Campbell. And that's just, Green Bay has a talent advantage everywhere. They have a talent advantage. Obviously, we know the upfront defensive line matchup. We know that Green Bay's offensive line has played well this year despite injuries all over the place. And with Michael Pierce and Danielle Hunter out, I'm not scared of Minnesota's pass rush. Why is there this never-ending thing that Green Bay and Minnesota are really close teams when Green Bay, when they're not just without Aaron Rodgers or getting screwed over by referees on roughing the passer calls by Clay Matthews, which was deemed the best way that Matthews could have played that. They just consistently win these matchups. I don't get it. Outside of the game last year where Dalvin Cook just had the game of his life, Green Bay just wins this. Why is it so close all the time? Why does everybody think these teams are close together?
I wish I knew. And I would say the only other position I would give him the edge would be Kenny Ngwanu at kick returner. That'd be the other one I would give them a starting spot. But other than I can't find 5 people.
We ignore special teams here. We've talked about it. The way to fix special teams is just don't ever have it. Just don't do it. And then there you go. That fixes the problem.
The first part of fixing a problem is admitting that there is one. But no, I'm with you to an extent. But yeah, I'm with you. And then you factor in not even just the talent personnel on the field. The Packers have a massive coaching edge as well. Like, it's not even close. Like, there's a reason why, even on wins, fans are still calling for Mike Zimmer to be fired. Like, he probably should have been gone a couple years ago. He seems to have lost whatever would made him a good coach his first couple years as the head man in Minnesota. But it's not there anymore. Matt LaFleur is light years ahead of Zimmer on the sidelines right now, and it's not close. Like, that's a huge advantage that the Packers have. There's no way around it.
Yeah, it's been, like, Matt LaFleur is already one of the best coaches in the NFL, and he's been around for 2 years. And people want to say it's only because he's got Rodgers or this or that. It's like, no, flat out, the guy is a great coach, and that's the end of it. Like, that's just, he is one of the best coaches. He consistently gets more out of his guys than anybody else. Clint Kubiak, in terms, just talking about coordinators, Clint Kubiak has looked terrible and questionable all year long. He will struggle to get Justin Jefferson the ball. I think there was a 2-week span where Justin Jefferson had a total of like 5 targets, and then last week he had like 14 or something dumb like that. It's like, and he's like, yeah, we need to get Jefferson the ball more. It's like, hey, guess what, Chief? You call the damn plays. You think Nathaniel Hackett has ever had a game where he's like, you know, I don't think we're going to get Devontae Adams the ball today. No, you get your star players the ball, and that is why the Packers coordinators are better. They're getting their star players the ball, because that's how you win games. Your star players win you games. It's nice to have role players, but at the end of the day, it's your stars that are going to separate you. And Kubiak has struggled taking over for his dad, and every other coordinator that's been in Minnesota for the last 6 years, because they've had a new offensive coordinator like every single year. And then on the defensive side of the ball, there's this thing that Mike Zimmer's defenses own Aaron Rodgers or whatever. Aaron Rodgers hung 43 on you last year in your building. So yeah, go ahead and remind me again why Minnesota's defenses own Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, yes, he may have owned a little bit when he was as a coordinator. It's different when you're a head coach. And I'm with you. I don't understand why everyone thinks that these teams are so close. Yes, Minnesota's lost a lot of close games. Yes, they've had some weird events that have changed their record. They're also 4-5. You find ways to win those games. Green Bay's 8-2 for a reason. And I look at this one, and especially when you look at the Packers' offense against the Minnesota defense, without Pierce to plug up the middle, their big free agent signing a couple years ago, without Hunter, they brought back Everson Griffin. He's now their number one pass rusher. Like that's not a good sign for Minnesota. If the guy, your number one pass rusher, is a guy who you cut last year, let him go to Dallas, and then you brought him back, and he's now your guy. That's an issue. And this could be a game where Green Bay's offense gets back on sync.
Yeah, like I said, this Green Bay offense is playing really well all year long. They really know how to get the most out of every player, and it doesn't matter who's in and out of the lineup. They're always just knowing how to put themselves in the right situation between LaFleur's ability to call good plays and Rodgers' ability to make adjustments at the line of scrimmage, which is not something that every quarterback is capable of doing. It just puts you in such a great spot. I have all the confidence in the world that Rodgers is going to get you in the right read, while Kirk Cousins, I don't have that confidence. I think Kirk Cousins is a fine quarterback. I think he's a dramatically overpaid one at that. And I also think that I don't think Mike Zimmer is a very good coach. I think Mike Zimmer is a good defensive coordinating guy, but his defenses are fine. Everyone's like, oh, well, look, Minnesota's defense is playing well the last few weeks. It's not like they're not shutting teams out or anything. I'm pretty sure they gave up like 24 to the Chargers. They gave up 34 to Baltimore a couple weeks ago, and that was in Baltimore. They gave up like 34 to the Cardinals earlier this year. They're not a great defense. Their corner play is not good. Bashaud Breeland, obviously questionable for this matchup. We'll know probably when this podcast goes up this morning whether or not he's going to play. Mackenzie Alexander doesn't scare you at all. He's been largely underwhelming since he came into the league. He was viewed as small, and then he went to Cincinnati for a year, and you know he's back, and it's just you're not really getting a whole lot of play out of these guys. The best players on the defense right now with all the injuries is Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr, and then probably Dalvin Tomlinson. I don't even think Harrison Smith is that good anymore. He struggled this year. He, in my opinion, probably should have been suspended for trying to choke out a player 2 weeks ago. But I mean, the NFL just lets people do whatever the hell they want. So what do I know? I think Green Bay and I don't want it to sound like week one. Obviously, we all look stupid for the Saints call because we all said, oh, Green Bay is just going to steamroll them. And then they got steamrolled. This doesn't seem like one of those games because Rodgers, especially in those divisional games, really locks in and everybody really understands the importance. And Green Bay leads by 3.5 games right now. In the division. Minnesota is the only team that can even come close to them because Chicago's going to play themselves out of it. Obviously, Khalil Mack's now out for the year with a toe injury, I believe it was, or a foot injury. Minnesota is the only team that can come close to them. If Green Bay wins this game, you're now up, what, five and a half games effectively based on the tiebreaker. It can be game over. Rodgers can drive the nail into the Vikings' coffin in terms of the division, and it's not even December.
Yeah, there's a conceivable chance that winning this week, that there is a roundabout they could clinch by Thanksgiving or the weekend after Thanksgiving. Because if you go up 4.5, essentially 5 with the win, get up to 6 after 11 games, there you go. Like there are ways that they could. You're right. This is essentially do or die for Minnesota if they want to have a chance at that division. But you look at the numbers, like you talked about the team to give up. They gave 27 to Cincinnati, 34 to Arizona, 17 to Detroit. That's a problem. 28 to Carolina, to Sam Darnold. 34 to Baltimore, 20 in Los Angeles, like that. Those aren't good numbers, especially the 28 to Carolina. Like that game was just not great. It was an overtime game. Like they've they found ways to lose leads that I forgot existed. And you look at this team, and I'm not scared of anything. Anthony Barr hasn't had that great of a year. Kendricks hasn't had that great of a year. Tomlinson might be their best performing defensive player this season. And he's good, but I trust the line to move him out of the way and free up AJ Dillon. And I had my weather app when we were getting set to record, and looking at Minneapolis, it's supposed to be about 27 when kickoff hits and be about 20 degrees with the wind chill. That's AJ Dillon weather.
But it's an inside game. I found out this fun thing about the Minnesota Stadium. Did you know that the building, the roof is designed for sound to bounce off of the roof and come towards the opponent's sideline?
That's smart design.
I don't know how they did that. I think that's incredible, because the stadium, I didn't think that it was like slanted that much, but apparently it is. I heard that on a podcast this morning, and I'm like, what in the, how did you even pull that off? But whatever. People are smarter than I am. This is an AJ Dillon game. I think that AJ Dillon just, it doesn't matter if he's running against good defense or bad defense, he plows dudes over at all times. And if I saw, I remember he was averaging like 6 yards per carry at one point this year. He's averaging like 3 yards after contact, or he's like averaging like 2.5 yards after contact. And second place is like 1.2, or like the NFL average is like 1.2. So basically he's twice as good as the average player in the NFL. And he's a second year guy, and he's a backup on his own team. This isn't a shot at Aaron Jones. This isn't a shot at anybody else, or a shot at Dillon or whatever. This is just, this guy is so good, and he's your backup running back. And that is why you draft for depth, especially when you're a team that likes to use the running back. You like to use multiple running backs. You like to keep your guys fresh for those late season games like this. So Aaron Jones has got to be out for a couple of weeks. That's okay, because you have a guy that can step in for you and keep you on schedule, even with your primary starter out of the lineup.
Well, this could even be a game as well where, for you fantasy players, it could be a fantasy leech game for Patrick Taylor. Like, I know we've liked Taylor back in camp. He's 6'2", 217. He's not a little guy either. He's a big back. He's not AJ Dillon big, but he's plenty strong, and he's another guy who can create some space. Like, I think he's a guy who could get one of those 3-yard touchdowns where Dillon drives the length of the field, gets a breather, and Taylor scores.
You know, there are going to be people that absolutely hate that too, just because it's like trying to predict running back touchdowns on teams like Green Bay is so tough, because they're like, oh yeah, no, you can trust this guy to score. Like, if you're thinking about like Tennessee, like Derrick Henry's the guy. You don't have to worry about somebody else coming in and vulturing. But with Green Bay, can be anybody, especially when Aaron Jones isn't in the lineup, because Aaron Jones generally gets those touches, as we saw against like Arizona. But when he's in the lineup, Jones is the guy. When he's out, now it's, you got to worry about your Patrick Taylors. You got to worry, like, AJ Dillon could be the guy. Maybe it's a weird Josiah DeGuara play down by the goal line. Who knows? I like the way that this Green Bay team is built. I like that they can win in a variety of ways. They don't have to win by the Aaron Rodgers 400-yard game every week. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a great game, as he didn't against Seattle, Rodgers is far from perfect. I'm sure he even admitted to that. They still won the game by 17, and it never even really seemed close per se. Like, the defense was shutting down Russ pretty easily all day long. It was only the tight ends and the running backs that were getting consistent yardage. I'm pretty sure both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett had fewer than 30 yards receiving on the day. And that was with Jair still out of the lineup. You're still playing Eric Stokes and Kevin King and Rasul Douglas, who, real quick shout out to Kevin King. Kevin King has been, I believe I saw he's the number one graded corner since like week 5 or something like that by PFF.
He's been playing great.
But you know what? Let's keep burying him for a mistake he made back in January against the Bucks. Let's keep doing that. Yeah, Kevin King's playing great this year. Eric Stokes is playing fantastic. Shannon Sullivan in the slot's been great. Rasul Douglas as a street free agent I don't want to get too overconfident. I try and stay grounded, but this team just makes it so hard. If the special teams could get out of their own damn way, I think I would feel so much more confident in this team moving forward. But for this week, I don't think Minnesota stacks up anywhere other than special teams. And even on special teams, it's really just the kick returner, because Greg Joseph has already missed one clutch field goal this year. And I'm pretty sure he's got two different games this year where they lost because he didn't make a late field goal. I believe it was against Cincinnati. They just didn't have the clutch gene. Dalvin Cook fumbled at like the 10-yard line in a game that they would have won if he would have scored a touchdown. So I have all the confidence in the world in this team and their ability to win. And I don't really have any nervousness about this game. The only thing I'd be concerned about is the look ahead spot. If I remember correctly, Green Bay plays the Rams next week, right?
Yep.
So Green Bay has to focus on going 1-0 this week. That's what they need. The folks needs to be going 1-0. They need to not look ahead to the Rams game. Rams are a good team, but you got to tackle the team in front of you. Don't overlook Minnesota, because they do have enough enough offensive talent to break a big play here or there, and that can be the difference in a game. So just play your game, keep playing the way you've been playing all year long, and you can win this game. And even if it's a close score, it won't necessarily be a truly close game, like the classic, the game finished 24-17, but it was really 24-10, and that just was a late score that made it seem like it was a lot closer than it was. So I think that's kind of what I'm thinking here for this Green Bay game.
So a few more points to add on to what you've been saying as well. You look at this one, and I think the look-ahead game would have been more applicable if San Francisco had not just curb-stomped LA. Like that game showed maybe a way to limit LA's offense. Like San Francisco put on a clinic. I don't know if that's a Shanahan McVay thing, because he's done really well against him and nobody else over the past couple of years. But that was a very bad Rams team that game. They played terribly.
It was also a classic, like just a couple of things went wrong really early, and then the entire game was shot after that. Like it was 7-0, and then the Rams on like their very next possession, Tyler Higbee, who had two different drops on the night, had a ball hit him square in the hands. It bounced off of his hands into the hands of the defender. I believe it was Ward, the safety, Jimmy Ward. The safety, caught it, returned it for a touchdown. And it's 14-0, and you're less than like 10 minutes into the game. Obviously, yes, that's not an insurmountable comeback. You can bounce back from that. But your entire game plan has been thrown off because you're now in a 14-0 hole. You got to do something. So I give the Rams a little bit of a pass, but you're right. The rest of the game, it's not like they were great. They were doing well on first and second down, and then they were coming up short on third down. It was drop balls. Cooper Kupp had a drop or two. He caught like 11 of 13 on the night, and his two incompletions, I think one of them was a third down drop. Van Jefferson had a drop on third down. You had Tyler Higbee had two drops on third down, and at least one of them would have been an easy first down. I can't remember what the first one was, but the second one would have been an easy first down. It's just don't beat yourself, and that's all Green Bay has to do in this game. Just don't beat yourself. I think Minnesota's got talent, but they're not. I don't think they're good enough to beat you if you don't beat yourself. Keep Aaron Rodgers upright, stay ahead of the sticks, and you're good to go. Just don't beat yourself, which, as we saw in the Kansas City game, that's why Green Bay lost. They beat themselves. In the game against Saints beat them. In the game against Kansas City, Green Bay beat Green Bay. Kansas City didn't beat Green Bay.
I'm with you. And I was going to also add a couple of shout-outs as well, because you talked about Rasul Douglas. How about Henry Black, his work as a third safety, and Dean Lowry? When did Lowry have the ability to run over linemen and draw holding penalties by doing so? I didn't know we had that kind of strength in him. And we've talked for weeks now about getting Matt LaFleur coach of the year. How about Brian Gutekunst for executive of the year? The moves he's made in season, whether it's Rasul Douglas, Whitney Merciless before he got banged up, Devondre Campbell, obviously, drafting Stokes, some of these other moves, he has had a spectacular season as a GM.
He's been
amazing.
It's gonna go unnoticed because it's the star thing. Because of the Aaron Rodgers thing, there's no shot that he wins. There's nothing he can do. And especially now that the trade deadline's passed, there's no move that he can make to win him the executive of the year, even if he's the most deserving person. Like, it just, because of the Aaron Rodgers stuff, especially if the media has any vote on it. I can't remember who votes on executive of the year, but if the media is the one that votes on it, there's no chance that he wins executive of the year, even though he has made multiple acquisitions of free agent players that are starting and playing high impact football for you right now. You went out and traded for Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb has made timely catches. He had obviously two touchdowns in the win over Arizona. He had a couple of big catches in the game against Kansas City that kept them in the game. You have guys like Elgton Jenkins, who's one of the absolute best offensive linemen in football. And in terms of versatility and ability to play all over the place, I think he very well might be, because there's not a lot. I don't know how many guys in the NFL could play all five spots and play at an all pro level. Obviously, like, tight end depth is huge. You have Tyler Davis, who was a guy that I had completely forgotten about last week until like last week he made a catch. I remember we were talking about it. Yeah, Daphne's hurt and Tunyon's out, so now you just got Lewis and DeGuara, and I had completely forgotten about Davis, and then he got a catch in that game. That's the mark of a good GM. He absolutely deserves love and praise, and we're going to have to be the ones that give it to him, because there's just no way that he's going to win executive of the year because of the Aaron Rodgers stuff. It doesn't matter what happens. It's just how it goes.
That even adds on to the only positive of special teams, which has been the punting of Bajorquez. It's another move that he made, making trading a late round pick to get what could be an all pro punter, let's ignore special teams now. So as we get going right now, Gage, let's take a look at some of the lines and what to look for in this one. It's pretty much a pick 'em at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's moved a lot. I remember I believe it opened at -3, depending on what books you were on. Some books opened -2, -2.5, and it was hovering there pretty much all week. I don't know, and there's been money pouring in on Minnesota over the last few days, and there are a couple of books where you can still get it at a Pick'em. That's, you can find it there. And if you can find it at a Pick'em, which I did right before we started this podcast when I was looking at these lines, I bet it at a Pick'em because I think Green Bay is going to win the game. And if you're telling me that I can bet Green Bay to win the game and get the exact same odds as if I was betting them to cover, because there are certain books where it's still hovering at -1. -1 is what it looks like the consensus is at most places. But for the most part, it's moved towards Minnesota. Now it's just kind of staying right there. I think the books really don't want to give the money might pour in on Minnesota, but they don't want to move Green Bay to being an underdog because they know that they will get hit hard as soon as that happens. If any book moves Green Bay to being an underdog and you see it, bet it as fast as you can because they won't be underdogs for very long. And for what it's worth, road teams are winning this year. Road teams have been winning and covering more than home teams have, and that's across the board. I saw a statistic the other day that road teams of less than six and a half or fewer points are like 55 and 18 or something, or it was like 42, 18 and 1, I think, this season of road underdogs, and home teams just aren't doing as well. And Green Bay does well in Minnesota. So I'm not concerned here. The over under is set at 47. It opened at 50.5 and it got bet down really, really hard. So now it's dropped a full 3 points. I'm not super comfortable taking that, but if I was betting the spread here, I'd have no problem taking Green Bay as a less than 3 point road favorite. I'll take that all day long.
I'm going with the over. I think Green Bay wins. I'm going 31-20. I think Minnesota will get a couple points. Jefferson will get his thing. Thielen could just be a pain, and because that's just what he does against Green Bay. He finds those random moments to make big plays. But I don't see Minnesota's defense stopping AJ Dillon or Devontae or even like Mercedes Lewis. Like I don't see a way they stop Green Bay's offense unless penalties come through and injuries. Like I just can't see it. Zimmer hasn't made enough adjustments over the last couple of years. The Packers, like I said, they play well in Minnesota. They've won the last two in Minnesota comfortably, and I think they easily put up 30 and get the offense back on track. And the defense may take a slight hit for maybe some of the total numbers, but they'll play well enough. They'll get to Cousins because the Minnesota offensive line also isn't much to write home about either. And I think they win by 11. And so yeah, this -1 or even a pick'em is just bizarre to me. I can't see any way where you can say Green Bay is only a single point better than Minnesota when they're four games up in the standings and they have consistently come up fairly clutch for a lot of these games.
So I think that the argument there for the clutch factor would be that, oh, clutch runs out or you can't win all the close games. Well, guess what? The Chargers have found a way to always lose close games. So a team can definitely find a way to always win close games. Looking through the DVOA stats really quick, because I've heard a couple of different books say, oh yeah, no, Minnesota's been really good against the run this year. And I'm looking through it. No, they're sixth against the pass by DVOA, and they're 28th against the run. Green Bay's 24th against the run. So, I mean, like, I don't know what metrics everybody else is using to say that Minnesota's been good against the run, but no, they have not. They're 28th. That's not good for those at home. There's only 32 teams in the league. So if you're 28th, that means you are pretty much you're just above last. The
31 if you don't count Detroit.
Detroit's not even last. They're 29th. Their last is the Chargers, and then 31st is the Jets. They are the only two teams where if teams run on them, it is a positive play. It is a positive impact, like EPA play. But so you said you took the over 31-20. I can't take the over with this Green Bay team and this Minnesota team because Green Bay wants to run the ball. They can throw the ball. They just don't want to because they can run. They have no problem doing that. And Minnesota, they are the worst version of Tennessee. They want to win by running the ball, and they will run the ball even when they're trailing, even though it would make a lot more sense to throw it, considering you do have Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, who Thielen's not as young as he used to be, but he's still a talented player. Jefferson is one of the best young wide receivers in the NFL. Throw them the ball more. But if you don't want to, that's okay. That makes Green Bay's life a lot easier because if they have less touches, that means they have less to worry about outside. And I'm confident still in the Green Bay secondary. I think that this is another, I'm hoping we get a lot of Eric Stokes on Justin Jefferson. I don't know if we'll get that, but I would really love to see that matchup because that is a matchup where I think that's two talented young players that I would really love to watch. Like we saw Stokes last week against Tyler Lockett. Stokes was a blanket all game long, and he was all over him all game, and he was doing it without fouling, which was huge. Even the play where he got called for the holding pass interference thing, I think Lockett sold it a little bit. I think it was a little bit of a flag, but I think it was a pretty soft one at that. I'm gonna go. I gotta go with the under. I can't trust Green Bay to go over because they're not throwing enough, especially when they're leading. And I expect them to be leading in this game. So that's kind of where I'm going to come in at, on this one. I'm going to go Green Bay 24, Minnesota 17. I think Green Bay gets a field goal. I think, and I know I've called this prediction a lot this year, but guess what? It's a very common one. So I think Green Bay gives up a couple of touchdowns here, especially. And another injury we didn't really talk about was Rashawn Gary. I don't know. We obviously, as of recording this, we don't know if he's going to be playing this week. He's listed as questionable. He's a limited participant. I know he's going to try and play, but if he's not, that gives – and with Whitney Mercilus out for the year and Kingsley Keke still dealing with his concussion stuff, that makes it to where Kirk Cousins will have a little more time to work. Granted, I think Kenny Clark is going to have a game wrecker style game where he's just going to get after it and eat Garrett Bradbury's lunch, so I'm excited to watch that. But I'm going Green Bay 24, Minnesota 17. I think Minnesota gets a late score to make it look like a respectable score, but I don't think they're ever going to be really in touch with Green Bay. I think now – for those of you that like to bet weird things, if you can find Minnesota to score first touchdown or first at all, not the worst move to make. As we've talked about before, Green Bay consistently does not score first. They consistently get scored on first, and they're okay with doing that because they like to play a slow, methodical game. And Minnesota, and for whatever reason, most books have Green Bay as the favorite to score first. So if you can get Minnesota, I wouldn't mind taking that because you're probably going to get plus money, and it's a bet that I have a decent amount of confidence in.
That's fair. And you talk about how the scoring might be down because both teams are in the ball. That's why defenses can score too. And I think that's going to happen. I think we're going to see a strip sack taken back.
Oh, you're going to bet a defensive touchdown anytime. You know, I mean, I might bet on that. I know pretty much every book offers anytime defensive touchdown. So if I could find that somewhere with decent odds, I might go just sprinkle that a little bit.
You've seen some weird plays against the Vikings. Even going back, 10 years ago when Clay Matthews literally just took the ball from Adrian Peterson?
There was that. The Jair Alexander fire safety last year where he just was like, you know what? No, I'm going for it. Got the safety. So, I agree.
Even when he tackled Stephon Diggs with Adam Thielen.
That one was good.
But I think one where you talk about Kenny Clark's going to be a game wrecker. I think he's going to bowl over Bradbury on one of these plays, and he's going to force something, and whether it's a fire blitz and someone like Drake Campbell can pick it up and take it. The Packers' defensive speed is better than it's been in years. If they can get the ball on the ground with some space, they can get a touchdown out of this. And I think that might happen. And that's why I kind of think they can get to 31 is that they'll get a touchdown in an unorthodox way and completely flip this game over because Kirk Cousins is having a great year. I'm still not convinced his ball security is that great. I don't trust Kubiak to make the right play calls. There's nothing I trust this Minnesota team that they won't get. Like we talked about the Bears kind of getting their own way. The Packers at times getting their own way. Minnesota's the same way. This is a constantly self-inflicted wounding NFC North division, and Minnesota is very much the same way. So I think a defensive score is going to happen. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. But I think this is one of those games where something weird is going to happen that'll help the Packers. So we'll start to wrap things up here for game day. Gage, what are you working on?
As per usual, still doing some work over at Dynasty Nerds and Roto Baller. Mainly doing some start sit stuff, covering the Rams and Seahawks for Roto Baller. My running back start sit used to come out on like Wednesday last year, but with the high volume of injuries, I've been pushing it out later. It actually came out yesterday, as you guys are listening to this. I'm just pushing it later and later in the week to try and get as much up-to-date information and to try and put out articles that are actually actionable and have advice in them, because I was going to write about Eli Mitchell for the 49ers as one of my starts of the week, and then he got ruled out as I'm in the middle of writing the article. I was like, all right, cool, scrap that and move somebody else in. So still doing that stuff. It's all on my Twitter. It's the easiest place to find it. Still doing stuff with Denver Stiffs, covering the Denver Nuggets, who are in the middle of the start of their season here, dealing with injuries all over the place. And as you guys are listening to this now, I'm doing my fantasy football advice every single Sunday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., still helping out, answering every single question sent my way, whether it's in a DM, a tweet, whatever. I answer all of them, and I'll answer them right up until the 1 p.m. Eastern time kickoff.
Sounds good. And you can find me on Twitter at Mike Wendland, all one word. Again, I'm not doing a lot of writing right now. My work is mostly in the broadcasting field. I'm working for Zaleski Sports out of Central Wisconsin doing high school games. And now with the state championships wrapping up yesterday down in Madison, it's now basketball season. So I did my first girls basketball game for high school on Thursday night. I'll be doing girls basketball, boys basketball, and hockey going forward for the rest of this winter. So you can find my work there at ZaleskiSports.com. You can just find all the games through there. And of course, you can find us as a unit at Packaday Podcast on social media, at the Packaday Podcast on YouTube, and wherever your favorite podcast platform, we will be there as well. So again, it's divisional game day, Packers and Vikings. We thank you for joining us. Enjoy the game. For Gage Bridgeford, this is Mike Wendland saying so long, everybody. Remember, always stay safe, always carry the G, and go Pack, go.